Lord, create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Lord, create in me a clean heart, God. And renew a right spirit within me. And renew a right spirit within me. One more time, cast me not away. Lord, and cast me not away from thy presence, Lord. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. That be your desire today, amen. Amen. And we don't have any announcements. Just a reminder that we'll be having service at 3 o'clock this afternoon instead of 3:30. Amen. Due to the little parade they have there, they close the streets down at early there. So just have one prayer request here, amen. Amen. It says, please pray for the Parsons family. Their son was in a car accident this morning and he died, amen. He was only 23 years old, amen. Got to live every moment, saints, like it's your last moment. Amen. Just going to ask for the Simon if you come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen.
Lord, just have your
give God all the glory and the honor and the praise he's due, saints. Amen. Amen.
Oh, burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. Well, I feel better. Oh, so much better. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. Well, I'm going home to be with Jesus. Since I laid my burdens down. Well, I'm going home to be with Jesus. Since I laid my burdens down. My friends don't treat me oh like they used to. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, friends don't treat me oh like they used to. Since I laid my burdens down. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory. Oh, I've been shouting. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been shouting and I've been dancing since I laid my burdens down. I've been singing. Hallelujah, Lord. I've been praising. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been singing and I've been praising since I laid my burdens down. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. My burdens down. Lay your burdens down since I laid my burdens down. Oh, burdens down, Lord. Oh, burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. Amen. Amen. Would you sing that song, "Every Promise in the Book is Mine"? Every chapter, every verse, every line. How many believe that this morning? Amen. All things are possible to them that believe. Amen. The Word of God. Amen. Amen. Why don't you greet your neighbor as we sing that song? Tell them every promise in the book is yours, saint. Amen. And every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book. Oh, every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. One more time. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Receive it today. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to that land above. Oh, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the Lord. Fill my way every day with love. Hallelujah. Fill my way every day with love, Your love, as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Keep me close, just keep me close. Oh, of my Savior and God, let me never in dark. Yes, Lord. Oh, and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Hallelujah. Fill my way every day with love, Your love, as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Think about it. Soon this race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Yes, Lord, let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Hallelujah, fill my way every day with love, Your love, as I walk that heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day with love. Oh, just feel my way every day with Your love, as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Let's just sing that song, He Set Me Free. Amen. How many are freer today? Amen. Amen. How many believe that you're free? Amen. Then you will be free. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song as our brother Ben prepares himself to come. Amen. Amen. Good to have them here. And Sister Samantha, amen. Amen. He set me free. Once like a bird, in prison I dwell. Amen. Oh, once like a bird, in prison I dwell. Oh, no freedom from my sorrow I feel. Oh, but Jesus came and listened to me. And glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. Oh, He broke the bind of prison for me. Oh, I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Oh, now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. Oh, my feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward For glory to God, he set me free. Now goodbye to sin and things that confound. Oh, not of this world shall turn me around. Oh, daily I'm working, I'm praying too. And glory to God, yes, I'm going. Oh, he set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, now I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. And glory to God, he set me free. And goodbye to sin and things that confound. Oh, not of this world shall turn me around. Oh, daily I'm working, I'm praying too. And glory to God, I'm going through. Whoa, he set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Now I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. And glory to God, he set. One more time. Oh, he set me free, yes, he set me free. Well, he broke the bonds of prison for me. Oh, rebound my Jesus to see. And glory to God, he set me free. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Amen. How many are ready for the word of God? Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Man, if you come with that attitude, you'll receive what you're coming for today. Amen. We want to go out of here better people. Amen. More closer to God as we leave. Amen. Amen.
And only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Oh, only believe that all things are possible. Only believe. Oh, and Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe that all things are possible. Oh, Lord, I believe. And Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe that all things are possible. Oh, Lord, I believe. Just sing, Jesus is here. Oh, and Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. And all things are possible, for Jesus is here. Lord Jesus is here. Lord Jesus is.
Here. I I like to sing it this way. Now I believe, and now I believe that all things are possible, and now I believe, and now I believe, and now I believe that all things are possible. Now I believe. And aren't you glad that you have the opportunity to believe? And aren't you glad you know you now believe? Amen. You may be seated today. May the Lord bless you real good. I'd like to say thank you to Brother Cam Church Body for having us again. Always a privilege to be back here and see friends and people we haven't seen for many years and what more, and many months, excuse me. And it's been about 6 months, I think, since last we got to see one another, and certainly was happy to be able to get the meeting together to come be back with you again. And sure, miss Brother Cam, but I told him, I said, this will probably work out just exactly right, although I'll miss a lot of fellowship with Brother Cam, you know. And but he said maybe in a little while we'll come back after a bit and make up all that lost time. So, amen. So we're thankful to be here, and God bless you very much. We love you all very much, and may the Lord just be with you. And the building's really coming along, looking beautiful. I'm just really, really amazed at all that you've done. It's really beautiful in here. It's got a nice echo, a nice effect, and that's nice for preachers, you know. It kind of saves their voice a little bit. And but it's coming along really nicely. And I noticed you still had your piano, so y'all ain't become Church of Christ of late, right? Still believe in music, so that's good. That's good. So you mind if we use that over there and sing a little bit? You don't mind? Come on, Sam. I'm just happy to be a Christian today.
Amen.
Amen. All five of you are going to be blessed. I say, how many is happy to be a Christian today?
Amen.
Amen. That sounds like believers there. Look for me this morning.
Sing it, Sam.
There's
ask no question. You'll want to see your loved ones waiting there for you. And when you feel you shared your story with the last one that wants to hear you tell just how you made it through, look for me. To hear it too.
Yeah, come on, sing it to me this morning.
I realize when you arrive, there'll be so much to view.
And
but after you've been there 10,000 years, maybe two, look for me, for I will be there too. Look for me.
Come on, go up on this. That beautiful this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank God for it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Boy, you're just singing your heart out this morning, but I know you believe it too. I'd like to sing another little something here. And I just got to thinking about this song today, and it's just a little chorus. Maybe you can help me on it. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Sing. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. How many believe it this morning? And I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. Every road I've traveled, I'm sure it's in His plan. For I put my life in His hands. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. Praise the Lord. Canaan land just inside. I'm just glad Canaan land's just inside now. Moses led God's children. 40 years he led them through the cold and through the night. Though they said, let's turn back, Moses said, keep going. Canaan land is just inside. Well, there will be no sorrow there in the tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey flowing, that is where I'm going. Canaan land is just inside.
Though we walk through valleys, though we climb high mountains, we must not give up the fight. We must be like Moses.
Yes, sir. We gotta keep going.
Canaan land is just inside.
Well, yes, now there will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Where we're going, where there's milk and honey flowing, that is where
I'm going.
Canaan land is just inside. How many believe it this morning? Well, there will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey flowing, that is
where I'm going.
Canaan land is just inside. Canaan land is just inside. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together, if you would, this morning. I've often said that girl right there is a singer. Her mama's a singer. Her grandma was a singer. They got a sewing machine at home. It's a singer. Amen. Let's turn today to Ephesians chapter 4. Aren't you glad you've got Canaan land ahead of you? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 4. I was speaking to some of the brothers just a few minutes ago about some of this very subject we're going to look at this morning. I want to look at the truth of water baptism. The truth of water baptism. How many has been baptized right?
Amen.
How many knows what that means?
Amen.
Amen. Christian baptism. And not in titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost now, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot more that goes with baptism than just going under the water. In case you didn't know that, you will after today. Amen. There is how many bodies? One. And one Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. Not three. Not two. One. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
One faith. Now, how in the world could this be right and there be so many different faiths and lords? And so there's a confusion somewhere, wouldn't y'all reckon? Mm-hmm. And how many baptisms? I'm not very smart. Y'all going to have to help me on some of this morning. And one baptism. That's exactly right. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. And Paul's a little bit of a Bill Hilly, I like to kid here and say, and in y'all. Now notice, there's not two baptisms, there's not three. If you're baptized in the titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it's representing three persons, because titles represents a baptism of triune persons or triune people in the Godhead. As I had a former Catholic tell me on a plane not long ago, well, you see, we don't believe in three persons in a Godhead, we believe in three entities. I said, what's the difference? One person, one entity, one... What's the difference? He's only one, friends. We'll never chop him in three pieces and hand him to the Jews. Right? It's impossible. You'll never hand this message to Israel believing in three persons or two persons in a Godhead. Jesus was not a separate person. He was the embodiment of the person of God. It was just the sun veil or the sun mask that hid God. Now notice this. One Lord, verse 5 again, one faith and one baptism. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God. Lord, as I stand here before these people, my heart is warm, God, as I look across this congregation today and see familiar faces and friends and people that I've known for many years now. Lord, though it's been several months since we've had the opportunity to be with them, it feels just as fresh as though we just departed this morning or yesterday. I thank you for the kindred spirit that we have here amongst your children today. And I pray that as we enter into the preaching of this sacred truth, first of all, you will receive our thanksgiving, we pray, for what you've given to us, the truth that has been revealed. Second, I pray that you will forgive us of any iniquity or transgression that we might have occurred or done, Lord, in some way that might offend you or hinder you. And then thirdly, Lord, we pray that you would anoint us together as we receive from thy word today. We realize that there are people all around this world that do not have the opportunity nor the privilege to step into the veil, to see what's behind that hidden place with God. And we will see today by your word why that is and why that has been that way. We pray that the Spirit of God will so anoint us by your Spirit that we will be a conduit, that you could channel your power and your Spirit through my body, mind, and mouth, that I might be used to speak to these your children. God, I'm feeble in body, feeble in mind, feeble in effort, but God, if you'll strengthen my feebleness, if you'll strengthen my weaknesses as a mortal, as a human, I can be used by you to speak to them what you would desire to say. As feeble as they might be, their thinking, their understanding, their ability to read even, sometimes, Lord, by today's standards, has been hindered by so much television, Hollywood, and so many things. God, our understanding, our attention span, everything has been affected by Satan's Eden. But if you'll take that feebleness and you'll anoint it today, we'll be able to look into deeper things than the world will ever see. Then this late age is coming to a close, and we see that the hour is upon us now that we must make ourselves ready for your coming. I pray you'd help us to do so by looking into one of the great truths once again of the things that we have believed and embraced. We pray that you would speak to us through these readings, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And all the saints said amen.
Amen.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do in church, ain't it? Say amen and praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated today. The truth of water baptism. Now, when we look at this, we must realize that, first of all, that God is truly giving us a complete understanding in this end time of what water baptism is. And truly, it is something that is restored to the people of God today. It's not something that we just guess at or wonder at now, but it is something that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt is true and is legitimately the Word of God. Now, when we look at these things, some of you that came from the great move of God many years ago, that came from the over here in Liberty Center and all those things when the Lord was first moving, I remember your testimonies how that one of the greatest things that stumbled you in the beginning was water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And some folks, I think Brother Jesse was one that he spent a lot of time kind of probing at it. And I said, I think they said he was coming over the railroad tracks or something. And all of a sudden his eyes come open and said, it's the name, not the titles. Well, there's a reason why that these things are cloaked to people that can't see it. It's a reason because God has placed it in His Word in such a way that It is truly on purpose in which God will take His Word and hide it from the unbeliever, that the unbeliever can't get behind the veil. As I was looking here today, the veil up behind us, there's a unknown mystery behind this veil that I don't know. Now, you may know it, and you may know it, and you may know it, but I don't know what's back there. And until I am privileged or invited to go behind this veil, I don't fully understand maybe what's back there. Now, I'll have to take your word for it until I see it for myself. Now, what we must realize then is that God will send a man to an age or a prophet to the age, and that prophet is given the authority by God to go back behind the veil first. That messenger of God will go behind the veil first, and by going behind that veil, he will come back out and tell us what he saw. So it is not you and I that was privileged to go back there first, but God's messenger of the day. Now remember when he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Now remember, that's not a group of people, but that's individuals. The prophet tells us of the church age book that is one messenger of one church age that will hear what God is saying for the age and then spread that light to others, and through the ministry of those that have been faithfully taught, they'll spread it to this one and that one and this one and the other. That's how the gospel is propagated, is by those men that have heard what God has said. Now remember, in the first church age, Paul was the man that heard God's initial truth. Not Peter, but Paul. Paul was the one privileged to go back behind the veil and come back out again to tell us the truth of water baptism. Now, when we look at these things that we read here in the book of Ephesians, that there is one body and one Spirit, and there's one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Every time Paul did addition, he came out to equals one. Huh? He didn't come out to 3 or 2 or 12, not like some people do around the message. Well, my church and your church and this one's church and that. There is only one body of Christ, and that body of Christ is the members in particular of Christ Himself. Now remember, if you are truly baptized in Christian baptism, it's more than just going to the water and being put underneath the water and brought back out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a symbol that we exhibit by going in that water that proves something by the Word and by heaven and by earth and by our own life, our own admission of our testimony. Now, when we look at this, we must realize then that for those that will take the name of the Lord Jesus in baptism, they ask Brother Bam this question in Questions and Answers. Brother Bam, is it all right? You know, does it have to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or can it be Jesus Christ? He said, either one. I take it Lord Jesus Christ because I think He is our Lord. He said, now just the name of Jesus, like some of our brethren baptized, I different there. Because I have a lot of friends named Jesus or Jesus. I've got some too. A lot of preacher friends in Mexico, Italy, and so forth, they call them Jesus or Jesus. And so Jesus is not enough. He was born Christ the Savior, as He was born the Savior, Christ the Anointed. So when you look at the definition that Brother Branham gives to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is more than just going under the water and receiving the name of Christ itself, but it's what that name represents. When you go under the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not going under the name of a dictator. You are not going under the name of a tyrant or a man that is ready to abuse and use and utilize you in any way desires and discard you later. But you are going in the water under the representation of the man who loved the world so much that he would give his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I don't care, white, black, yellow, red, purple, green, polka dotted, whosoever will believe on Him, they shall have eternal life. Now, you'll notice the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's just break that name down and look at it. First of all, He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord represents something very significant in the old King James English and the Old Testament way of looking at it. The Lord was the man that ruled the homestead, or as it were, the kingdom. And the Lord of that kingdom was the man, indeed, that had the say over all of the business. But now, remember, under that name, Lord, there were people that would come up under the tutelage of that Lord that would finally be able to take part in the master's business. So when you say Lord, you're not just saying a man that rules over you and reigns over you and tells you what to do and tells you not to cut your hair or tells your brothers to cut your hair or whatever it might be, but you are actually under the tutelage of a man, come on somebody, that will resurrect you and raise you up to take on the Father's business. Now you remember, the Lord of every kingdom had a servant or a hireling or somebody that was there to take care of certain aspects of the kingdom. So if he was a Lord with all the busyness that he had, he couldn't be a father and be a Lord, and he couldn't be a husband and a Lord. So he had to delve out some of this business to others. Oh, glory to God. So when you are taking the name of Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, you are saying as you go under that water, that as I go under this water, under the name of Lord, I am becoming part of the Father's business. I am becoming part of the Father's kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. I am becoming part of everything that God desired to share with you and I, Brother Freddie. Now, we realize that when you go under the water with the name Lord Jesus Christ, that there's not another name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. The name William Branham won't work. The name Paul won't work. The name John Wesley won't work. Ben Norod, Cam Smith, Isaiah Brooks, come on now. The name of the only name that we have to recognize that we have the opportunity to even be saved is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the reason why, friends, people who are baptized in titles, they don't even have an entrance way into the kingdom of heaven. Well, I didn't figure y'all'd say amen, but I'll prove that to you in just a little bit. Now, if you'll notice this, there's not two baptisms, but there is indeed one. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Now, notice one baptism. So there is one Lord, one God, and one Father, but one baptism signifying there is not two baptisms. Now, you say, Brother Ben, we know that already, but how well do we know that, I wonder? You see, when you're in an argument or a debate or whatever you want to call it with somebody in the world or somebody coming from a different church, they'll say, well, bless God, I'll take Jesus' baptism because he had the better baptism. And then somebody say, bless God, Peter spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. I'll take Peter's baptism because he's the one that had the better understanding of it. Well, if we believe it, what the Apostle Paul was truly God's man to go behind that veil and bring us the truth of water baptism, then something we must also understand is that same man said, if any we or an angel or anyone else come from heaven and preach anything contrary, let him be accursed. So who gets the curse, Peter or Jesus? If they are different baptisms, who gets the curse? Because Paul said there's only one. So if Jesus is preaching one and Peter is preaching one, then which one gets the curse? Oh, I didn't figure y'all to say amen to that too loud, but it's the truth anyhow. Now, unless the only thing we could surmise in Brother Dave is that if it's not two baptisms, then somehow, it must be the same baptism. Oh, glory. Woo, I love backing the devil up like this. Oh, I love it, I love it. Now, notice this. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now, notice, this is just beautiful right here. It gets real rich right in this. Now, notice Satan then must begin to interpret the word. If he's going to bring three persons into the Godhead, then he must also interpret the baptism to fit his belief in the Godhead. So when you go under the water in the name of one Lord Jesus Christ, you are also testifying that you believe there is only one God. Where's that going to leave a lot of these people on the day of judgment, friends, that preach two lords? Huh? Or is it going to leave many of them that preach that Jesus is one and that God, his Father, is one? And they took on Christian baptism. They said, by going under that water, they believed there was only one. And yet they turned around and preached two. Praise the Lord. On the day of judgment, there's going to be a lot of answering to do. Boy, y'all folks are quiet on me. I thought y'all said you were baptized right. You should be shouting the walls down. These brothers should have to repair that sheetrock if you see this right. Now, notice this. Now, Satan must interpret baptism to reflect his belief in three persons in a Godhead. Well, it only makes sense then that if you're going to be the devil and you're going to interpret something in a Christian way, there's only one place you can go, and that's to the Bible. Amen. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and let's read on down. Lord, have mercy, y'all. The poor little hamster ain't even squeaking in that head of yours this morning. You're listening good, ain't you? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Just don't forget to say amen every now and then. You'll choke me to death. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, thank you, brother, and saying, all power. Does that say all power?
Amen.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So not only did Jesus have the keys to heaven and earth, it was his decision who he gave them to. My pastor's got an old car that he sold to me here the other day. My van, you know, remember my gold van laid down on me finally, 236,000 miles on it. Brother Dale Potter, who drives Volkswagens nearly 500,000 miles, told me, well, Ben, it's just a baby car just getting broke in. I said, well, the transmission's dead. So my pastor sold me a vehicle the other day. And it's a Cadillac. So don't y'all go out of here thinking now that I'm some of these big fancy preachers now, all right? It was a wreck car. He got it out of the salvage yard. The whole front end was tore off it. He restored it back, sold it to me for $8,000. 36,000 miles on it, practically brand new, still has the new car smell, $8,000. Exactly what I asked the Lord for, and that's what I got. Now, I had the opportunity when I was standing there to look at him and say, now look here, I have been by your side for 10 years. You give me that vehicle without a dime. I could say that to him. But because he's the one that had the title, in spite of what I may have said or persuaded, in spite of how I might have begged and pleaded, God, I might, please, please give me that car. Please, I want that automobile. No matter what I said, his deal was $8,000, take it or leave it. Now, it was his right. Now, you could have called the courts of the land. Bless God, I don't think it's right. But he's the one that had the title. So if he had the title, it was his call, glory, on how it was to work. Now, it's not up to me or no denomination or no bishop or no priest with his collar turned around backwards and some holy Catholic. Oh, man. It's not up to none of them guys. Ain't not up to them big bug-eyed preachers with money, deep pockets wanting money filled up in it. No, sir. But it's up to the one that's got all power in heaven and in earth. And that's not me or you. That was Jesus. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing. I know you know the rest of it, so just hold on. I'm going to read you something. The word baptize there is the Greek word baptismo. I'd like to have run away when I found this. The clearest example to show the meaning of this word is baptizo in the text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 B.C. It is a recipe. Now, the meaning of this word now, it comes from a recipe for making pickles. Lord have mercy. What'd you learn in church today? How to make pickles. God and simplicity, children. Now, the recipe says this. Now, listen at this recipe. This is so glorious. It is helpful because it uses both words to describe pickle making. Lord Jesus. Nicander says, in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should first be dipped or bapto in boiling water. And then the pickle must be baptized or baptizo in a vinegar solution. You say, what does this got to do? Lord have mercy. I drove all this way to come here about making pickles. Just hang on, hang on. I'm getting there, I'm getting there. Slow down, old faithful, don't blow yet. Now notice, the first is representative of a temporary act. Bapto, dipped in boiling water. It's only temporary. And everybody knows where pickles come from. Cucumbers, of course. So it goes down a dry cucumber, comes up a wet one. Bapto. It's only a temporary adjustment. But the second, or baptizo, is the act of baptizing the vegetable until it produces a permanent change. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. when used in the New Testament, this word refers over and over again to our union and our identification with Christ. It's more than just water baptism, but in Mark 16, 16, he that believes and is baptizo shall be saved. Not he that is dipped, but he that is baptizo. Hello, brother, sister Pickle. Now remember, these gospel pickles ain't got sour faces either. Oh, glory. But these pickles have got some joy. The power of God inside of their soul. So the first is bapto, or you dip them. And then the second, you baptizo. You stick it in the vinegar and you hold it down. Amen. Until a change occurs. Amen. You ever come to church and feel like the preacher's got his head smack on you and he's holding you down like this? He is. Amen. He is. Glory. He's trying to hold you down until that old man is dead. Hallelujah! He's trying to hold you down till your ideas are dead and your life is dead, that you are dead through Christ and raised again. Baptizo, not just bapto dipped, but baptizo. Lord, I wish I could get this happy in Bible study. Ooh, I almost got this happy the other night teaching it. Now, notice this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's look at some of this word here, same word. Coming on down. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. You love the Bible? I love it too. Now, notice in whom, Paul says, also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So not natural now, but spiritual. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism. Now, this word is baptisma, or immersion, or submersion. But now listen. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, Paul is speaking of immersion or submersion. Now, notice this again. Baptizo, or being placed into the water. Now, let's look at what Jesus said as you've got your places there in Matthew 28, 19. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, not say these titles, but baptize them in the name. Now hang on, everybody. You know the reason why Matthew is saying it this way? He's a guard to the eternal life. He is standing, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all standing before this veil. And if you want entrance into this veil, you've got to get past the guard. And the guard was Matthew. Mark had a part. Luke had a part, John had a part, but none of them was given the special task of covering up this baptism like Matthew was. So we hear the prophet say in the Revelation series, hey Matthew, you still guarding that gate? Yes, sir. I told him to go down there and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and them poor ignorant people still think they mean to go down in titles. You know why? He's standing there keeping those ones out of baptismo. Only the elect can go into baptismo. Hallelujah. Only the bride, only the wife of God can go behind that veil. Glory. Only she can go behind that curtain and be baptismo. So Matthew is standing right there holding them back saying, password, please. What do you mean, password? My pastor took me right to the river and baptized me just like Jesus said. Did he? Well, he baptized me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I thought you said, a man told me one time, he said that very same thing. He said, I was talking about he's wanting to come from Baptist into Pentecost, cousin of mine back in Tennessee. He said, well, he said, you know, he said, this thing of Pentecost, he said, it's wonderful. He said, I want to know more about it. I said, I think I can help you. I said, tell me how you're baptized first. He said, I was baptized like Jesus said. I said, praise God, so was I. I said, how was you baptized? What did he say when you went down? Did he do the same as me? He said, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. I said, I thought you said you was baptized the way Jesus said. He said, I was. I said, no, you still ain't been baptized the way Jesus said. Now remember, Matthew 28:19 does not contradict Acts 2:38. If it does, the word is broken somewhere. As I said, which one gets the curse? Because Paul preached one baptism. And everywhere Paul baptized, he baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The word's amen in case you forgot it. Got all some of you quiet folks say amen, or at least nod or something. It'll make you feel better. Now notice everywhere, so where do we draw the line at? We don't draw a line between the two. But there's got to be a reason then that Matthew said it the way he said it. And I'd love to answer these questions, because when the Lord starts breaking it open, it's like more revelation just pours on out there. But do you realize that the very thing that Matthew is guarding, that you and I have been privileged to step beyond that guard, to step beyond Matthew, to step beyond Mark, to step beyond Luke and John, and we have been privileged, they stand to the side, they let you in the veil, they let you in the gate. You have been privileged to know the secret things that are hiding behind the veil. You say, well, it doesn't matter if I'm baptized or not. Hey, whoa. Who had all power? You or Jesus? Jesus said, be baptized. Jesus said, be baptized. Well, I don't care what you think. And until you've been given all power in heaven and earth, I'll listen to the one who has. Thank you very much. Ooh, why in the world am I here? But I'm here. Now, notice this. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Not but, or maybe, or some other conjunction that separates, but and puts them together. Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And is a conjunction. You can't have the Father unless you got the Son. Can't have the Son unless you got the Father. Can't have the Father unless you got the Holy Ghost. That's why some people, they don't want the Holy Ghost. They want Jesus, but they don't want the Holy Ghost. But they don't realize he's the self-same person. Jesus is kind and friendly and loves everybody. The Holy Ghost is some kind of a wild man, but they're the self-same person. Amen. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. A lot of people want Jesus, but let me tell you something. His name, brother, sister, is a name that is higher than any other name. Is the word epilepsy higher than that name? Is the word cancer higher than that name? Is the name diabetes higher than that name? There is no name higher whereby man may be saved than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So for those that say, I don't need to be baptized, you are directly breaking a commandment from the mouth of Jesus himself. You say, all right, what about the thief on the cross? I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to tell you. He didn't have a chance. He was dying. The same prophet of God to open them seven seals and preach to us water baptism and all these other things. That same prophet told us that if he had had an opportunity, if he'd have had a chance, come on now, that thief would have went to the water as sure as there's water to go to. Why? Because he saw the light. And anybody that sees the light will continue to walk in the light. Come on. Come on, somebody. They'll continue to walk in the light that has been given to them. But if you don't have an opportunity, how are you supposed to walk in it? You know what it is? People want to make excuses because they're scared. They know that once they take that name in water baptism, there's a commitment that goes with that. Because they know in their own conscience, no preacher has to tell them, no deacon, no trustee, no housewife, no farmer, no factory, nobody has to tell them. No TV preacher, ain't no book or self-help or no doctor or psychology has to tell them. Their own conscience, Brother Dave, their own conscience tells them, once you go on that water, you better mean business. That's why many times you watch them, they won't go to the water. They'll agree with you about being saved and giving their heart to the Lord. Isn't that easy? Isn't that easy? To sit there on the other side of the table and go, I know that. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I give my heart to Jesus. All right, let's go to the river. Come on. Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not ready for that. I thought you said you want to be saved. Praise the Lord. If you have an opportunity to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you reject it, you will go to hell. Well, glory. I'm not saying this of myself. I just read to you. That's Jesus' commandment. Jesus said, observe all things that I commanded to you. Did not he just get through saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Tell them, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you reject this, it will send your soul to hell. Woo, some of y'all didn't like that. That's straight. That's truth, though. You see what we've done, friends? We have watered this thing down so much. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, you be baptized three times forward, three times backwards. Well, it don't matter how you're baptized. I don't know why in the world that Jesus would go to all the trouble to make it straight and anoint different apostles and men of God down through the ages and cause men to give their lives to the truth of the word and give their lives burn at the stake and mothers have their babies ripped out of their belly and set on fire if it doesn't matter. Or tell me why they went through all that. You know why? It does matter. It's just the devil in this end time trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. Because we're living in an age of acceptance. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Dave, look like me and you and Sam going to be the only ones hollering amen in here after a while. Still with me, Freddie? Doing all right? How about you, Simon? You still on there? Woo, thank God, thank God. I thought I was going to be alone there for a while, Brother Bart. Huh? Now, if you reject this truth, the age of accept, well, it doesn't matter. We accept everybody, and they think God has that same policy. God does not have a Laodicean policy. Children, he doesn't have a Laodicean policy. He will not accept you just because you're homosexual or lesbian or this or that. You must come God's way or there is no other way to come. Come on, somebody. Now, notice again, let's be very clear. Matthew 28:19 does not contradict Acts 2:38. But it seemingly looks like we've got two different baptisms here. You know why Matthew's standing there guarding that gate? Because do you know how much the devil would love to get behind this veil right here? Do you have any idea how bad he'd love to get back there? You know what I love to do? I love to get back here and stick my head out of him and go, nanny, nanny, nanny. Glory. Because he would love to get back in there and have such an understanding of the secret mechanics that is behind these dynamics. And if Satan could get back behind there, he would do great harm. Could you imagine if the bishops of Rome and the presbyters and the lay people that associate with the great denominations of the day and even people around this message, could you imagine if they could just get entrance behind that holy veil of God, what they would do to this message? Look at what they've done from the outside. Look at what they've done from the outside. Come on, children. Look at what they've done from the outside, much less if they could get back in there. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John stand there at the gate. A man comes up to the gate. Password, please. I was baptized like Jesus said in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How'd the preacher call your name? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. Come on. Did you get the token while you were there? Come on. I've got it. Can I have your token, please? Yes, sir. You may enter in. Amen. The Methodists come to that gate and Matthew says, halt! Password, please. I was baptized. I was sprinkled. And Matthew says, I'm sorry. You'll have to go back to the beginning and try again. You say, that's not fair. All power in heaven and earth wasn't given to you. You don't have the title. Huh? It's not up to you. Not up to me. It's up to the one who had the title. Well, praise the Lord. Lord, the longer I preach, the quieter you children get. I thought babies were supposed to be noisy. Come on, I want to hear a little noise out of you. Amen. Notice now in Matthew chapter 21, verse 25. Now, notice this peculiar question that Jesus asked here. Now, this is going to bleed into this, what we're talking about. But Matthew chapter 21, 25, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? What a strange question. What a strange question. Well, anybody that can stand there and look at John standing in the river can tell. The man is baptizing them on the earth. What they didn't realize, John was getting them ready to go and walk into the gate of heaven. He was just getting the gate ready. Now notice this picture. When Jesus is standing there and tells Matthew or speaks these words and Matthew picks them up, then we realize that Matthew 28:19 is Jesus' words guarded by Matthew. But the reason that Jesus himself spoke it in this manner is because the baptism gate was the way into heaven. Now, anybody that knows, if you're trying to get in a door or a gate, you got to have a key. Now, if you remember, at this time, Jesus didn't have the keys to the gate of heaven. Praise the Lord. He has the keys of hell and death. But the church is the one that had the keys to the gates of heaven and earth. Oh, some of y'all didn't believe that, did you? Matthew chapter 16. Just go look at when Jesus says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He says, "I say unto you, thou art Peter. Thy name was Simon, but I call you Peter, little stone. And upon this rock I'll build my church. And unto you, I give the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on will be bound in." Huh? So Jesus didn't have the keys of heaven and earth. Peter did. Amen. And when you're the man that has the title, I reckon you can give them to whoever you want to give them to. Now notice when Jesus is entering into Matthew 28, there's no way for the Son of God to actually reveal the entrance into that gate because he doesn't have the key. So all he can tell them is you got to be baptized. And you need to be baptized in the name. But he doesn't tell them what the name is. Amen. You know why? He wasn't going to take Peter's job from him. Amen. Excuse this if you're Native American or Indian, but we have an expression, Jesus ain't an Indian giver. You know the old expression? Now that doesn't reflect on modern day today if you're Indian or whatever you are. But you remember that they would give and take and give and take. That ain't the way Jesus runs his business, Brother Dave. Once he gave Peter the keys, it was Peter's job to open the gate. So all Jesus could do then was just command them, be baptized and be baptized in the name. And they'd say, "What name, Jesus?" He'd say, "That's not my job." You say, "What?" He gave that job to Peter. Oh, glory. So when Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, he's got the keys rattling in his hand. What shall we do, men and brethren, to be saved? Oh, I imagine Jesus, our Lord, was probably looking over the ramparts of glory down there and say, "Go ahead, honey, do the job I called you to. Tell him, Peter. Tell them." I imagine them angels were looking over the banister of time. "Tell us what name it is. Tell us how you get into this place." And he takes the key and jams it into the lock and twists it open and says, "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And the gate went creak. And 3,000 of them said, "Let's get in there as quick as we can. Let's get in that water." Oh, glory! Hallelujah to God, hallelujah. Let's get in that water and be baptized. Let's get in that water and be changed by the power of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a strange question. Was this baptism of heaven or of men? Both. We can answer what they couldn't answer. It's a man that baptizes you, but that baptism is recognized in heaven. Don't misunderstand me now, but it's the only baptism that is recognized in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad you've been baptized in it? Now, let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Oh my, you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 6, let's look at verse 3. Now, notice, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Now, the word used there for baptized is buried. Or soon thapo, to bury together with. Oh, glory. I love this right here. For all who in the rite of the believer's baptism are plunged into the water, thereby declare that they put their faith in the death of Christ for the pardon of their past sins. Now, where did this immersion come from? Where did John the Baptist or John Baptist get the revelation? John the Baptist or baptizer. Where did he get the revelation to put him under the water? You ever wonder about it? Well, let's look at some Old Testament scriptures for just a moment. Do you mind? I didn't figure y'all would complain too much. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Let's look now just for a few moments at, actually, excuse me, let's just go to Leviticus first. Leviticus chapter 1. And let's look at verse 8 and verse 9. May the Lord help us now as we enter into this. I've gone about 57 minutes thus far by my little clocky. Y'all tired? All right. We'll go a little bit further here and let's close. All right, now look here in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And the priest Aaron's sons shall lay the parts, the head and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be burnt sacrifice, an offering made of sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, if you'll notice, the first approach is to be washed. Now, the book of Exodus chapter 30, verse 18 through 20. I might move a little bit quick, so if you need to keep up there, you just hold on with me, because I want to get some of these scriptures into you. Exodus 30, verse 18, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. So to avoid death, even come to the altar to minister, they had to be washed before they went. Oh. Now, notice, any time a prophet of God, the Lord, when we might look at it tonight, I don't know, we'll just see how it goes. But the Lord, I'm having such a good time this baptism, I don't know if I want to get out of the water just yet. But if you look at the way that this is worded here, then John the Baptist being a prophet of God, or a man that the word of the Lord comes to him. So when the word opens to a prophet, remember, he's the first one to go behind that veil, or the messenger of the church age, which wasn't always prophets, but the man of God that could hear the spirit for the age will go behind that veil, get God's message, and come back out. But in the Old Testament, there's one man or one prophet that would go back behind that veil and get God's revelation of the day, because God dealt with them on the national level, and God had one voice. There was no evangelists or pastors or teachers in the Old Testament. There was only one prophet of God, and there was a priesthood. Now, if you'll notice the order of this, when the priesthood then would walk into the sanctuary of God to do service before God, they must be anointed, they must have the dress right, they must have everything in order, and they must be washed. So John the Baptist, being a prophet of the Lord, sees that Jesus, whoever he might be, he said, the one that he sees the Spirit descend upon, that'll be the one of a divine vindication that will be the Son of God or the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He could look into the Old Testament and see all of the types coming up to where Jesus would be the sacrifice of atonement for man's sin. Everything pointed to it. So John, being a prophet of God, knew this much, that before the sacrifice could ever be offered up, it must first be washed. Hallelujah. Now, where did they get this idea of dipping completely in water? First of all, this is just maybe a thought, but of course, John being a prophet, wonder if he looked at the antediluvian destruction and recognized that when the world got its baptism, the entire world was submerged in water. Amen. Even the rock tops, the tops of the mountains we're underneath the water. That means God don't want to just baptize you from the top of your little heady head down. He wants to be from the heady head to the toesy toes. Huh? He wants every part of you baptized or completely submerged in water. Now notice it was also derived from a custom back in the Jewish time that after the captivity of Babylon, they had what they call a teliva and a mikvah. And the mikvah was if there was anything unclean or impure that the Israelites would touch. In other words, they had laws and things that would say if you touch a dead body or if it's a woman's monthly or something of that order, that they must go to the water and wash for their purification. So they had a mikvah or a pool that they would go and wash, completely submerge in that water to wash themselves for purification. So no doubt in looking at this, John sees, and the type is just so beautiful when you think of it, they get this mikvah after they come out of captivity. That's what happened to you. After you came out of captivity, after you came out of Babylon, you went to the water to be baptized. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. After you come out, after you were released from bondage, after the chains on your soul were loosed, you went to the water to be baptized. So John, looking at all of this coming all the way down, and John sees the sacrifice is going to be washed, and the sacrifice isn't going to be just his toenail or just his forehead or just his foot, but if he's going to be a sacrifice, all of him is going to be a sacrifice. If he's going to be created the Son of God, he's going to be created all the Son of God. So John wasn't just interested in going out and baptizing his right hand. Huh? Because there have been other parts of the sacrifice that wouldn't have been washed. So the only sensible thing to do is baptize all of it. The only way you do that is you push them all the way under the water. You said, but that water's cold. Have you ever seen a grave that's warm? Huh? Anybody ever went down to a warm grave? Reckon them folks out there in that cemetery out yonder, they're sitting there going, boo, boo, it's so cold out here. Boo, boo, oh, the winter's coming, it's so cold, it's a grave. It's a grave. Amen. There ain't no warmth to it. There ain't no comfort. It's a grave. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Now notice this in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God, I was about to pass this up, but this is just too good to leave, which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. So in the very place that the priest is to be washed, that is the self-same place where the name of Jehovah is placed in. Amen. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. So wherever they wash at, they're washing in the name. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Wherever they wash at, that's the place the Lord chose. Hallelujah. Where the Lord chose to place his name, that's the place they'll be washed at. Could you imagine them priests walking in there and picking up the water, Brother Freddie, and just washing their hands and saying, I do this in the name of Baal. I do this in the name of Ashtaroth. I do this in the name of the imaginary God up there somewhere, a figment. They walked in there in the name of Jehovah. They washed in the name of Jehovah. They were anointed in the name of Jehovah. They worshiped in the name of Jehovah. Everything they did was under the name. So why would you think it come to the New Testament and never be changed? Still the same place you're washed at. Got to have his name in it. Glory to God. Now notice this. When you go in by the name, the name is access into the character of the person. If I said the name Hitler, what would your reaction be? Well, how do y'all know I ain't talking about Jeffrey Hitler? Ah, because you associated a character with that name. What if I said to you, you know, some kind of Manson? Your mind thinks of the serial killer, Charles Manson. Chills go up your spine. Ooh, 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 big swastika on his forehead. Ooh, helter skelter. How y'all know I ain't talking about Fred Mason, Manson? Huh? What if I said the name Jezebel? Huh? You associate character by name. So when we are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, we also associate His character with His name. That's why the power of God couldn't have been just with the 12 apostles, because if His name ever had power in it, it'll have power for everybody that goes under that name. Oh my God, my God, my God, friends, do you see it? The name and His character, they're one and the same. When the woman takes the name in marriage, she takes upon her the character of her husband. If he's a low life, she takes on the name of a low life. If he's a businessman, she takes on the name of a businessman. If he's a hog collar, she takes on the name of a hog collar. Whatever he is. You know what I'm talking about, hog collar? Suey, suey, you northern bunch. Whatever they are, they take that name, and that name is associated with their character. So what about these people in the churches that's baptized in titles then? And then they claim they've got the character of Jesus Christ. They can't have the character unless they've got the name. Can't have the name unless you got the character. Huh? They're one and the same. That's why every person that was ever baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and continues to live in sin, don't die to themselves, don't die daily. Every person that's baptized or bapto in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their hand and their character and their life will be required of them at the day of judgment. Why didn't you stick with the character of which you were baptized in? Can't you see, friends, what the day of judgment is going to be for a lot of these people that have been baptized in Christian baptism, and they backbite their neighbor and lie on this one and cheat that one and get mad at this and mad at that and out of temper to fight a buzzsaw and like I don't know what, huh? What do you think is going to be on the day of judgment when they have to stand before Almighty God, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, representing the character of heaven and earth, and they're standing there a bunch of liars and adulterers and everything else? Huh? Don't you see what judgment's going to be? Don't you see why there's going to be millions disappointed on that day? Oh my, let me hurry. Now notice this. By taking the name of her husband, it provides access into the mystery of his life. So once you take that name on, the mystery of who that man is, you receive access once you get through that name. So when you're standing there at the altar, and she's got a little veil on and her little thing and the train coming around, and this guy, he's standing over there and he's... And that preacher stands in between him and says, I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Do you understand once that announcement has been made that she... By taking on his name in marriage, she now has access into his weaknesses, into his strengths, into his passions, into his personal visions, into any part of his life that she wants, she's got access. Wow. The name. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Can we go a bit further? Matthew chapter 3. Let's hit this one, then let's go back to Paul a little while. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. No wonder this bride can go right back in behind that veil and say, I've got a need today. Can I have some help? Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What a strange remark. Now, his word righteousness here is the word that he's using for fulfilling the word or fulfilling truth, righteous truth. Then he suffered him. John baptizes Jesus. Now, notice this picture carefully. Now, remember, Matthew chapter 3, the guard is still doing his job when he's putting this picture out before us. Now, if you'll notice, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Well, how could he come out of it? He wasn't in it. Huh? So these people say, sprinkle him, sprinkle him, sprinkle him. Well, Jesus didn't believe in that. Don't you reckon Jesus being the manifested Son of God on the earth, the man that is coming to fulfill at the age 30, when the priesthood enters into the sanctuary and enters into his ministry, and he's coming to be washed so that he can enter into his ministry or his anointed ministry. Don't you think Jesus, when John would have said, I need to be baptized of you, pick up some water and say, I sprinkle you in the name of John. Don't you think if there would have been a better way, that Jesus, if he would have took him and dunked him down in the water and dipped him right down and just dunked him right underneath, Jesus come out of the water and say, hey, you've done that wrong, boy. Do you notice Jesus never even argues with John in the manner in which that he baptized him? You know why? Because Jesus, knowing all things and all power in heaven and earth been given to him, he knew John done it right. He done it right. Jesus didn't argue with John and say, hey, boy. He said, suffer it to be so, John. Suffer it to be so. Did you notice they didn't have a conference ahead of time to figure out how they're going to work the mechanics of it out either? You know why? Because John was a prophet of God. Jesus was the Word, and the Word came to the prophet, and God don't break his program. John had the revelation. Jesus was in the water, and John was the man, and Jesus didn't take his job either. Did you notice that? He didn't take his job. He didn't turn around and baptize John and say, hey, I'm the Son of God. Once he gives you a job, it's your job. Once he gives you, oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Once he gives you a responsibility, it's yours. Could he not have stood around and said, hey, I am the virgin-born Son of God. Don't you understand? I'll baptize you. I'll do the baptizing around here. But it wasn't Jesus' job to baptize. It was John's. Jesus was the sacrifice. John was the priest washing him. Oh, this is getting rich, isn't it? Woo! And I got both hands in a honey pot. I just want to roll my sleeves up. You know what I'm saying? Notice Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Must have been cold. Straightway means immediately. And lo, the heavens were open unto who? Him. Now, if the ones on the bank got to see this, it isn't revealed to us by Scripture. So the only one that is seeing this get ready to happen is Jesus and John. You say, how do you know that? Well, I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to read it to you. Brother Bam said it this way. Oh, I was preaching this about teaching this a few weeks ago. I told the people, I said, now Jesus is the only one that sees this. It's not really opened up to him or to anybody else. John didn't even see this. Until I came across this quote, Brother Dave, faith once delivered. Get it, Brother Bram says, upon whom thou shalt see. Revelation, John. Didn't say the audience. John bear record. Seeing the Spirit of God, John was anointed and given the privilege to introduce him. John was the only one that knew anything about it. It was given to John alone. He said, I saw and bear record the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and it went upon him, and a voice speaking from this dove. So here's John standing in the water. And here's Jesus standing next to him. Now if you look at the scripture, and John baptizes Jesus. Jesus comes up out of the water rather. And the Spirit, see, he suffers him. Next verse. And when he was baptized, the heavens were opened unto him. There was only two in the Bible that saw this happen, John and Jesus. Now, I don't care what bishop with his collar turned around says they got a better idea of the Godhead than Jesus did. It's all right with you. I'll take the man, the word of the man who saw it himself. Huh? If Jesus would have seen something different, if he would have saw one God up there speaking, one God out here is a dove, and him standing there is a God, a person of God himself, then Jesus would have preached that later. Don't y'all reckon? But John bears record the Spirit like a dove is coming out of heaven, and there's only two there that see it. John and Jesus. Oh my. Spiritual revealed truth. This is my beloved Son. He said nobody else saw it, or the Scripture doesn't declare, but John bear record. Now notice the Spirit descends upon Jesus. Now notice And he saw, Jesus did, and John, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven. You say right there, Brother Ben, there's three gods, one in heaven, one dove, and one standing there. Now notice this. Oh, glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased to dwell in. Not we, I. If there had been two out there speaking, don't you reckon they would have said we? This is my beloved Son in whom we are pleased to dwell in. Well, friends, if there's more than one, they would have said it that way. But he didn't say it. I is a personal pronoun. Ooh, glory! Now notice Matthew standing here guarding this gate, cloaking the revelation of the Godhead and linking it directly together with water baptism. The revelation of who he is and water baptism were integrated. They were placed in the very same river. So get your water baptism right, you can get your Godhead right. Get your Godhead right, you can get your water baptism right. Praise the Lord Jesus. Can I go a bit further? Let's go now to the book of Ephesians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How we love you. Praise be to God. Or excuse me, I said Ephesians, I meant Romans. Romans, back to chapter 6, verse 3. I've got y'all jumping all over the place. I'm jumping myself. Spiritually and naturally. Romans 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us were baptized or buried with him into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried or baptizo. We are baptized or baptizo and buried with him. So we are buried with him by baptism into death. Our sins, all of who we are plunged into the water to declare our faith in the death of Christ and for the pardoning of our past sins. And once we go into the water, we are buried or sumpatho, and then we are baptizo. Not bapto, now dipped, but changed. Now notice what Paul is preaching. Paul is not preaching regeneration by water. He's preaching regeneration by revelation of why you went to the water. Right? Now notice this. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Notice again now Colossians chapter 2 again, verse 11 and 12. Let me hit this last part right here and we're going to have to quit because my time's going to get away from me before it's over with. All right, now notice that. Colossians chapter 2. And I want to save my 4 hours for tonight. I won't do that to you again. You ain't got that clock up here. And I thought, well, Lord, that's going to be I'm going to set one up here. Sure as well. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In whom you're also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. And that's a spiritual circumcision. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism or baptisma. Wherein you're also arisen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now notice this in baptism. Baptisma. Or in immersion or submersion. Now watch how these two words link together. Baptisma and sumpatheo. They all link together with Romans chapter 6, what we just read. Paul is stating that we are baptized unto death. Now watch this carefully. The meaning of this word is that we are not only dead to our former ways, but they are buried. So in order for us to be buried with Christ and to be buried in baptism, then it is just as unthinkable for us to return our sins from that watery grave as it is for a Christian to go out and for an individual to dig up a dead corpse. How many of you have buried somebody that you love? Huh? How many of y'all want to go dig them back up? You put them in their place of rest, and that's where you want them to stay. Well, isn't it amazing? You get about halfway offended about, oh, bless God, no, that's my loved one. But aren't you your own loved one? Once you buried yourself, why do you want to go unbury it?
Amen.
Huh? Well, bless God, I was buried. I know Benjamin Norod's dead. I was there when they buried him. I was there when they buried him. Wasn't you? Now, it would be just as unthinkable if you rolled my casket up here and Brother Cam got up here and you all cried. I hope you cry. Sing sad songs. Real sad ones. Cry. I want to look down from the heavens and say, they loved me after all. And Brother Cam says a few sad words on me. Now, our dearly departed brother, we're so sad to see him go. We just felt like he was a Christian and loved the Lord. And then 3 weeks later, the church gets a bus. Y'all go down to the gravesite. I'd like you to see how Brother Ben's been doing. I ain't talked to him in a little while. And go dig me back up out of the ground. You say that's horrific. Just as horrific in the eyes of God when you dig up your old sins from where you were buried in the name of Jesus Christ. This word that he is using, It is signifying. It is just as horrific, just as terrible as if you went to the grave and dug up one of your loved ones. Well, I remember when I used to do. Why don't you get that old spade out of your hand and put a sword in it? Huh? Why don't you get rid of them old grave clothes? You ain't no grave digger. We're people of the resurrection. You're not no grave digging bride. You're people of the resurrection. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 3:20 and 21, which sometime were disobedient, which one long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was preparing, wherein few, the 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, the washing in the mikveh, but the answering of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice, Lord Jesus. I love this statement right here. Brother Bram says, in the harvest time, he said, how many's got the tape, the future home of the bride and the groom? He said, the Lord gave it to me. I brought it out there. Give it on to you as he gives it to me. First, the world was condemned under Adam's fall from the word. The preaching of Noah brought justification. You tell me, if the preaching of one righteous little preacher brought justification and brought the world out of its sinful condition and brought the world to the altar under repentance, how do some of these message people, or even maybe some of you in here, think you're going to make it any further in the kingdom of God unless you've got a preacher and you've been baptized and you've been saved? You know what baffles me? So many people around this message are so quick to hand up books and tapes and books and tapes, and I have nothing against that. Thank God for every witness card. I saw you got a great big stack of them back here. I keep stacks myself. Thank God for every bit of that. But you tell me one thing. What good does it do us to hand people a bunch of doctrines and revelations and all that if they've never repented of their sins and they've went to that water and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins? What good does it do them to put a dress on them and let them grow their hair out, or take the shorts off the man and take the gold necklaces and all that old sissy type stuff? I saw a boy out there yesterday. Just my wife and I was out kind of spending some time yesterday morning. And we was out, and there's a big old strong guy. He looked like he'd pick up the back end of a big truck. Had a little pair of shorts on. I told my wife, I said, that guy could crush my head like it was a little tiny grape. I said, but according to the prophet of God, he ain't nothing but a sissy. Standing in a pair of shorts, he ain't got no more man about him than that little girl does right there. Huh? But they stand there and they say, bless God, I'm a deacon in the church. That doesn't mean any more than if you're a hog in the church. What you need to recognize, unless you get saved, you're going to hell. This world would have went straight to hell. You know what hell is? Sheol, the grave. Atomic fire would have destroyed the entire canon of this world. But the thing that was about it, no matter what was going on the outside of that world, down inside the framework of that earth, there was the Word of God that framed it together. There was representation on the inside of that earth, and on the inside of that earth, that representation was crying out for justification. So once that representation began to pull on God for justification, it pulled Noah straight out of the mind and the bosom of God and gave him the words to say and the revelation to say, and the word, that earth pulled Noah out of God, and Noah began to preach, and the earth came to the altar, repented, and got saved. And then after the earth got saved, she got baptized. Think about it. Then Jesus comes along and takes his blood and drips it on the earth. He goes under sanctification. You know what she's waiting for now? She's waiting for that little representation that lays down inside of her to pull out of God its body change. And as it pulls on God and pulls out of God and pulls out of God, it's pulling out of God everything that it needs, because the deep is calling to the deep. That's the reason she's entered into birth pains and typhoons and hurricanes and earthquakes in diverse places. That's the reason mass chaos and everything's going on this earth, because that represented word inside of her glory is calling out of God. It's pulling on God. I want my baptism. I want my baptism of fire. I want my body change. I want to receive the Holy Ghost. Don't you understand? The person that wants it, they'll keep pulling on God until they get it. How do you know you are truly able to get the Holy Ghost? There's something in you that never stops pulling. Just look at the earth. Look at the earth. She has been here for 6,000 years of man's time, and she hasn't stopped pulling for a change. When CNN goes to pack it on the news articles, you know what you're seeing? You're seeing a prayer meeting. When an earthquake has killed 6,000 and 7,000 people and 10,000 have been destroyed in this, she don't worry about the cost. She don't worry about who she's going to offend. She don't worry about what family she's going to split up. She wants that baptism of fire. Don't matter what kingdom she's got to tear down to get it. Oh, glory to God. Lord, children, this is fresh out of heaven right now. Don't matter what she's got to go through. Don't matter what she's got to do. Don't matter what it takes. She calls. Give me. Give me. I've been baptized under Noah. I repented and give my heart to God. I've got the blood of Jesus sanctifying me. I want my baptism of fire. Then after the millennium, you know why there's trouble on the earth after the millennium? You know why the earth quakes up a second resurrection of the unjust? Because she ain't had her body change yet. And she doesn't want all that filth that inside that body. Because all of that body that she, that sin that she's been putting up with in that body all these years, she wants to be purged there. She don't stop after baptism of fire. Oh, glory to God. She don't stop after that by the time. She keeps on pulling and keeps on pulling until John, the one that stood in the water and washed the sacrifice. John, standing there in the water and said, I see the Spirit of God descending. Now here's nearly, what was it, 50 or 60 years later? I think it was AD 80, when John the Revelator wrote the book, and he said, and I seen the city of God coming out of heaven. Amen. You know what that pyramid represents to the earth? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and now here comes perfect love descending out of heaven. She's cried for it. She's earthquake for it. She's typhoon for it. But now here comes God to cap off her life in utter perfection. Oh, glory to God. It'll never be changed. It'll never be any different. When the seal is placed upon that earth, there'll never be no sorrow nor death ever on her again. Now take that with you. You go to the water, you're baptized, you go under there in Christian baptism. And what happens? You start calling for more of God. More of God. Do you know that's the reason why sick, hurting, struggling, troubles, trials, tribulations, you still come to the house of God? Do you know why you're standing here today? Because something inside, representation inside. Remember, the earth itself cannot be destroyed because the worlds, Hebrews 11:3, the worlds were framed by the word of God. So there's a core. That's the word. The outside is not the core. The core is on the inside. Glory to God. It's on the inside. You remember when Brother Ram said that great atomic blast blew the earth away from the sun and the ice had formed it over like that. He said, then God came back around and another atomic blast blew it back in the presence of the sun. He said, then the glaciers began to melt and everything began to form and come down and cut out the Grand Canyon and the Gulf of Mexico and cut on down through. And then we come to Genesis chapter 1. Now the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face, and the waters covered the face of the deep. Brother Bannon said the Spirit of God moved on those waters because underneath those waters was seeds from a previous civilization. I was covered over in the waters of baptism, and the Spirit of God moved over my soul. Why? Because there was a seed in me from a previous civilization. Oh, God, children, we could go on all day long. Y'all would preach us on later. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, how we love you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, your word is so great, Lord. Thank you for being baptized, Lord. Thank you for Christian baptism. Thank you for the truth and the reality that circles this. How wonderful it is for us to know, God, our sins, our wrongs, our guilt, everything that we ever were. We was born in this world, sinners, born in this world, this, born in this world, that, but by your grace. We come to this world speaking lies, but by your grace. We come to this world, Lord, full of iniquity and sins, but by your grace. As we went to that old water, Lord, and repented before your presence and asked you to forgive us, have mercy on us and cleanse us. You didn't do so because we were such special anointed people. You done so because we were sinners. The reason you moved on us wasn't because we were different than anybody else, the same type of eyes and genetic structures and hair colors and follicles. We can give blood transfusions to one another and so forth. So it had nothing to do with the flesh of our ranking or societal standing. But it had to do with the fact that down inside of us, there was a little something there that represented you. And you were trying to bring that to birth. So you had to bring us down here in a body of time, and many of our sins and wrongs were following us all the way to that river. And many of them went down into that water and were baptized in your precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them had been drug addicts. Many of them had been alcoholics. Some had been prostitutes. Some had been just religious people, just jumped from one religion to another, which is worse than the others. When they went down underneath that water, God, everything that they were born in, whether their dad was a whatever he might have been or mama was a whatever she might have been, when they went underneath that water in Christian baptism, they took everything that they was and they buried the former deeds and the former representation of what they were in that water. When they came out of that water, buried in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the old man of which they were and the old woman of which they were is buried down there in that watery baptism. God, help us, I pray today, Lord Jesus. Please, please help us not to go back here and dig him up. Let us see how putrefied and how sickening that is. I tried to give the natural example, and I looked on some of their faces and it horrified them. But God, I hope it was a strong enough and tough enough example that they can see how in your eyes, how desperately awful and horrific it is for a child of God to go back and dig up what they once were. Help us, Lord. We thank you for the truth of water baptism and what it means. Because God, I believe what I've been able to preach this morning is not because I'm such a great speaker or teacher. I'm hardly a preacher, much less even a teacher or speaker. But Lord, with what you've given me here today, it's because your grace and your truth and your mercy has provided us the understanding to be able to go back behind this veil and to pull up secret things that have been hidden since the foundation of the world. We thank you because, Lord, you are the one that gave us access behind that veil to see this morning. There'll be some here maybe that don't even know what I'm talking about. In their own minds, they don't even understand what I'm trying to get at. Some of them may think that this is just this or that. And I don't understand why them preachers preach that way. Now, they always say it, that, Lord, but I pray. If they are sitting here today and they're standing with us in this prayer and they don't know you and the power of your resurrection, let them know first that they're sinners and they need to get saved. Then once they realize they're a sinner, then they'll realize their need of a Savior. God, if they're just church-going people and they think they're all right and, oh, everything's all right, but God, let us examine our lives. If we still backbite and lie and cheat and steal, and God, if it's that kind of life, something ain't dead in us yet. Something ain't right. I know we'll make mistakes. I know there'll be gray areas of our life, Lord, that we won't just exactly have just right. By your grace, if you help us, we'll fix every one of those areas. But I'm talking about something deeper, Lord. Something deeper in the person that they just cannot get away from the desire to be a sinner. I pray that if they're that way at all this morning, any of them, that you would let the Spirit of God so fall on them today. That conviction will strike their soul and that they will be saved. And if they haven't been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us see what's right. Help us see what's true. Lord, help us to have the patience to tarry with those that need this understanding. And then help us, Lord, to receive a greater, deeper understanding and appreciation of that which you have given to us. We thank you for this today, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Can we just raise our hands to him and just thank him for the truth that we've heard today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not asking you to get all excited now and work up and jump and shout. I'm not asking for that. I just want you to give him some thanks now. Not trying to pull on you for a great big meeting at the end, but just thank him now for what you know, for what truth you've been revealed to you. If you've been baptized right and you see the depth of this, how much it must do something to you, you Christians, to know that in this way of Christian baptism, that it represented more to you than just going in the water. You think of that word Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the anointed. So you're not just represented as being a part of the Father's business, but his very anointing has fallen upon your life, and you have become the Christos or the anointed from his hand. Brother Branham, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? He said, in one way, that makes me an Antichrist. He said, but in another way, you're exactly right. We are the Messiahs or the anointed Christs of the hour. Not that there's more than one God, but a part of Him, His anointed, as a wife is to her husband, and a husband is to the wife. Hallelujah. We are one with Jesus. Oh, we love you today, Lord. I wonder today now, with your heads bowed now, would there be one here that be willing to say, Brother Ben, I'm a sinner, and I need God's gospel salvation. What you preached to me this morning, I need it. And I'm a sinner and I want to get saved. Would you raise your hand to the Lord this morning, sinner friend? God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you and you. Now, if you've been saved and you're a Christian now, you just hold on to your confession. Don't turn your confession down. If you've been baptized in Christian faith and you're trying to serve the Lord, consider your testimony to be, I am a Christian. But if you've been pricked in your heart today, and you know you're not saved, you know you are a sinner and you haven't yet been baptized with the Holy Ghost, ask him today, just by the uplifting of your hand once again. God bless you. God bless you. Friend, don't turn down the opportunity now. The Lord is moving on your heart. Just honor him. You're not raising your hand to me anyhow, precious child. You're raising it to the Lord Jesus. You want him to see in this presence. And the reason I ask you is because one of these days I'll witness on the day of judgment. Yes, Father, when I was standing there in your presence and had preached your gospel and I asked them if they wanted to be saved, I can witness on this day of judgment that they raised their hand asking for your mercy. It's not that so much that I see it, it's that you do it for the purpose of this gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I wonder today, is somebody backslid, cold on the Lord, and you need God to help you? God bless you. You're backslid before the Lord and you haven't been serving God like you ought to. I know most of us Christians could probably put our hands up there, but I mean really just cold on God now. God bless you. Each hand, Lord bless you real good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together for these needs again, friends. Just take somebody by the hand there next to you and just offer prayer for them if you would. Lord Jesus, as we come back before your presence today, we're coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us access into the great powers and anointing of the Holy Spirit. As we come in that all-sufficient name, we're praying the Holy Ghost would just take these needs into your hands today, Lord. There's sinners today, God, that raise their hands and backsliders that raise their hands. Father, we pray that you wouldn't let them go by the way of the grave without knowing you. Don't let life come to a screeching halt. They find that the end of their opportunity of the road of life has come to its end. God, won't you grant them mercy that the Spirit of the Lord could so help them, that they by your grace could just receive from the anointing of your presence. Grant it, Lord, I pray. Won't you, Lord? Be mindful of them, God, as we commit them to your hands today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you're one of those ones that just raise your hand, just accept it now and say, Lord, I believe you. I've got confidence in you now. Now, I wonder now, would you, believers, just for a moment, would everybody that is here that's been baptized correctly, I know you could put your hand here, but I'm curious, is there one with us today, I don't know you, that's never been baptized in Christian baptism? Would you put your hand up in the air that you'd like to be baptized in Christian baptism? Anybody? Any of you believers, I know you've been baptized right. But anybody here this morning that's never been baptized in Christian baptism, you might want to speak now that the brothers can take note of you and make preparation at some point, whoever you might be. All right, God bless you. Let's just sing a little bit together. Worship the Lord as we close now.
I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me. Just my salvation on Calvary's tree. Hallelujah.
Jesus, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him today, friends? Amen. Have you enjoyed the Word of the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. As we're dismissed, brothers, anything that we need to announce before closing? Anything for the day? Anything? All right. Let's just bow our heads once again for prayer. Heavenly Father, we so thank you, Lord, for your presence today. Lord, I know I've been a little lengthy in my preaching, but God, how I thank you for the little extra anointing you give us to enjoy it. Some of them things, Lord, are just so precious to us. We just thank you for them. I pray that you go with us now for the afternoon. Bring us back here again safely by thy hand. May you help us to enjoy the afternoon, Lord. Give us refreshment and rest to our body. Strengthen us, Lord, as we eat our foods and take in the liquids of drink and what more to our bodies. May they be refreshing in every way. Heavenly Father, Satan has so destroyed this food system that all it would take, God, is for that hybridization to affect one cell, and it could be cancer, it could be anything. Go with us, Lord. Everything we do this afternoon, protect us and keep us safe. May the presence of Almighty God, I pray, go with us now. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Turn, shake hands with somebody now and just greet one another. Just hug each other's neck, you sisters to sisters, brothers to brothers, of course. Just greet one another now. Say hello. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed this morning. We'll sing it as we go. Till we meet. Till we meet. Yes, Jesus. Meet at one Lord Jesus' feet till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. Take the name of Jesus with you. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. It will joy and comfort give. Take it everywhere you go. Oh, hallelujah. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. We heard about it this morning, Lord. And joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. How about this one? At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at His feet, kings will cry, why? He's our Lord! When our journey is complete, but until then, precious name, oh how sweet, oh how sweet, precious, hallelujah, glory, yes Lord, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth, and joy of heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we love you, Father. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember your reverence of the sanctuary now as you go. God bless you. Service 3:00. Don't forget now. Half hour earlier, 3:00.